It's the return of the gangster, Baxter. The niggas that's on that blow that run up in your crib, which contains your lady and an 8-month-old child to raise. Plus, you true blue about this music, but they do not want to hear because they'd rather be bouncing and shooting and killing and bouncing and shit. Get down. Return of the gangster, Baxter. Them niggas that think y'all soft and say y'all be gospel rapping, but they be steady clapping when you talk about bitches and switches and hoes and clothes.
Hello! And welcome. We have returned from the land of spells and fairies. It is the other side. I am Cody Byer.
I'm Max Vita.
I'm still Andrew Erickson.
And one of the reasons we've been gone so long is we've been kind of retooling the show. One of the big problems we've had with the show is things to talk about. At the end of the show, okay, what we can talk about next? And it was getting harder and harder to think of stuff, and that's why you'd see a lot of these long breaks. Just, we don't fucking have anything to talk about. So we've retooled the show. Before, we'd sort of do house cleaning before we do the main topic. The house cleaning's now the whole show. Basically, just, we've each got a couple topics. Just basically what podcasts do nowadays. We got multiple topics. We're going to talk about them. We're just going to talk about whatever the fuck. We'll talk about a little bit of anime. This is an anime podcast, but who knows what other shit. Who knows what other worlds we'll go to, because we're not autistic enough to focus only on anime, as you may have noticed from our other shows.
This is my excuse to finally just talk about games and stop pretending to care about anime.
What the fuck is an anime?
We just don't know.
So, we've each got a couple topics. I want to start off with something I just saw. I just tweeted this, although this will air a week after I tweeted it. But I wanted to talk about it. This is interesting to me, and I think it puts a lot of the anime fandom into perspective. It helps you understand a lot what goes on in this train wreck of a fandom. Aiden Paladin is a YouTuber. She talks about, like, fucking studies and psychological studies and shit, and her videos are, like, overly long. But she put out a video on something that I've been interested in a long time, and that's sexual psychology. And the reason I've been interested in this is I was studying psychology for a different reason, and then I ended up in some of the sexual stuff, and it's just so fucking fascinating and weird that I just had to dive into that pool. Because the human brain is crazy. You know you can get an incest fetish just from being, like, 10 years old and finding your sister's panties on the floor? That's not even a joke. That can happen. The human brain is weird. So, it was the effect of excessive... Oh, yeah. No, they have an incest fetish because they have fetishized having a sister. Because, I'm not even joking, it's a nation of only children. Like, hardly anyone has siblings over there. So it's become such a far-off, intangible thing that they fetishized it. But this was the effects of excessive exposure to pornography on the brain. Because there are tangible effects. Not just exposure. Not if you just jack off every now and then. No, I'm talking fucking horny on main. All day, every day. Got the hentai shirt. I'm looking on them anime titties 24/7, boy. Like, that shit. That has an actual tangible effect on your brain. And the effects are actually kind of fucking scary. I'm not even kidding. These were some of the things that, what they did. It's multiple studies that have been performed since, like, the 1980s. Like, you see some of the older studies, you think, well, that's decades old. And then they recreated the studies and, you know, tweaked it a little bit now that we have more things available to us. And the results were the same. Like, when they redid it, like, 2013, 2014, the results were the same. So these are some of the shit. It's no joke. That watching excessive amounts of porn, I gotta stress that. We're talking excessive here. All things in moderation. We're talking excessive. So we're talking, like, horny, thirsty anime bitches. They're like, oh, my anime titties everywhere. It's all on their profile. They're looking at hentai all the time. So this is what it can do to you. Increasing acceptance of deviant sexual behavior. So let's say bestiality is disgusting. You don't fuck animals. And all of a sudden, you spend the next couple years just constantly watching porn. Ask that question again. Well, maybe, you know, the dog enjoys it. I'm just saying, a little red rocket ain't hurting Rover. Suddenly now they're getting okay with bestiality.
And that's how your movie sucks, happened.
Probably. I mean, who knows how much fucking furry porn he imbibes in. And then you had a result. This one fucked me up. They gave him, like, a survey in these studies. Like, okay, would you, how would you put, once I start with this, you're gonna just, like, I'm gonna feel the grim feeling come over you. How would you punish someone for committing rape? The people that consumed excessive amounts of porn were suddenly giving lighter punishments to rapists, even bringing up the idea that the woman could have been asking for it. And then not only that, this will also explain a lot of these Anna Twitter feeds. You know what else was a result of excessive porn consumption? Depression.
Oh, I thought you were going to say being a liberal.
Kinda!
Well, I guess that was kind of included in the letting rapists get off and bestiality.
And, like, the becoming more tolerant and okay with deviant sexual behaviors, to the point where, when they were consuming excessive amounts of porn, not only did they then, you know, this is the obvious snowball effect we all know about, you know, you watch enough porn, you become desensitized, you need stronger stuff, it's like drugs. You start, oh, you can't do just missionary porn anymore, you need fucking bestiality, heavy BDSM, fucking, if you're looking at platoon porn, just giant tits, nipple penetration, all that crazy shit. But that's not even, it got to the point where the people that consumed excessive amounts of porn, some stuff didn't even seem like porn to them anymore. So, like, think of the people that are like, oh, what's a nipple, you know? I'm not saying it like, oh, God, you see a nipple on TV, it's the end of the world or anything like that. But the people are like, no, you know, give your condoms to little kids and teach them about, you know, felching. It's just sexual education to the students.
They built a tolerance.
Yeah, to the point where now they, and when the rest of us are saying, hey, you know, maybe, you don't bring in the trainee that looks like a fucking something out of fucking Total Recall. Mm-hmm. You don't bring the Total Recall trainee in to talk about 69 and with the kindergarten class, and then these crazy fucks are like, what was wrong with that? It's just, there's nothing, it's pure. There's nothing dirty. You're the dirty one. Now you know, because that motherfucker has been watching fucking granny porn for every day of his goddamn life, because he's addicted. So once you know this, it all makes sense. And Twitter, the anime fandom, it all makes sense. Hentai
also
did it.
Explains why they're all trannies.
Yeah, hentai did it. All the reasons that they're fucking low, and it, of course, we all know, excessive masturbation lowers testosterone. So, like, just now you know why the anime fandom looks like that. Just look at an anime convention. Just look at the crowd. Now you know. Because they can't stop jacking it to hentai. It's every day, several times a day. And it's had an effect, a pronounced one.
You know, I'm reminded of that one video by A-Log where he interviews, like, various hentai boxes.
Yeah.
Literally.
What? Yeah,
and
that was just
the goes to the fucking DVD boxes and interviews them.
He's trying to be fucking, like, charming and witty, and it's the most stilted, awkward shit you've ever seen in your life. But yeah, because I've known about a lot of the stuff before, but the video not only encapsulated everything, but brought some information that I didn't know. And luckily, even if you don't feel like sitting through an entire, like, God, it's like over half hour, which is short compared to Aiden Paladin's other videos. Like, she'll go on fucking 40 minutes to an hour on some of this shit. But luckily, she's got all the sources, all the studies in the episode description. So I'm a try to remember to give a link. Or Max, you do the previews now. Try to remember if you can to leave a link in the description along with anything else that we talk about. And just, you don't even have to watch the video. Just look at the studies and Google them. Look them up. Read the studies yourself. It's fucked up. The rape, giving rapists a lighter sentence just fucked me up. I'm speechless. Fuck you, Sweden. How much porn's you got over there? I'm turning into a fucking Baptist minister. Pornography is the devil. I'm gonna turn into a fucking goddamn evangelical Christian over here. I'm just so reacting so heavily to this data. Like, it's one thing. I mean, you know, the snowball effect, the tolerance, build up a tolerance. Yeah, yeah, okay. You're okay with what? Fucking dogs is fine to you now? you try to excuse that shit?
Thanks, Canada.
And it just turns you into an asshole. to the point where they had, like, one of the studies, they would have a couple talk to each other, right? And one of the couple had been exposed to excessive amounts of pornography. And then they had a third person, like, behind a glass wall, look at these people and say, okay, guess, based on their interaction, I think they provided them with, like, some subjects to talk about, or they just to talk about some stuff that you've been talking about, whatever. Yeah, so they would have a conversation enough that you could gauge their behavior. And then they would have a third party behind a glass wall. Okay, now which one of these two people do you think watches more porn than the other? And they guessed right every time. Because it had, like, visible effects on their behavior. Like, they became more, like, I mean, the encapsulation of it, it basically turns you into an asshole. Like a dismissive, disloyal asshole. And it really puts into light, I remember, Devin Townsend talked about when he went to, rehab. And he went to rehab for his drug addiction and his pornography addiction. At the time, I thought that was weird. And he even said, and I thought it was a joke, that he said his porn addiction was more addicting and harming his personality more than his drug addiction. And I thought that was just him being glib. No, he was fucking right! Porn addiction. Now, obviously, it's not going to be worse than a heroin addiction, but he wasn't addicted to heroin, that I know of. But, for the purposes of me making a point here...
Maybe he was addicted to Rogaine.
But only on parts of his head, because he had that weird skullet. But no, like, the effects it has on you are... Like, my jaw hit the floor. Watch this video... I looked at the fucking charts and all the data and shit. Read the fucking the procedures and what they did. It's scary as shit. It's fucking scary. So what I'm saying is, people, is if you have kids, keep the computer in the family room. Don't let your teenage child have a computer in their room. And when you're an adult, you know, and you can do things in moderation, then, you know, yeah, you could have the computer in your room. But for God's sake, holy shit. Moderate that shit is what I'm saying. If you're a porn hound listening to this, dial it back. Maybe, like, you know what? Go ham. Once a week. One porn day a week. Try it. Just fucking try it. I guarantee. And after, like, a couple months, you'll start feeling embarrassed. Man, I feel like I should take on the world for some reason. It's because you're watching less porn, boy. Dial it back. I guarantee you. Try it, folks. Try it.
Just one don't day, turn one... into Gavin McInnes.
Yeah, don't go that far. But Gavin McInnes is a fucking tryhard anyway. Like, he's so tryhard with that whole punk movement shit. I think anything that he thinks that authority figures are against, he'd endorse.
Okay, look, Cody. I did no fab for a month, and I literally became Superman, okay? This gave me magical powers. Now watch me shove this butt plug up my ass.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but I'm saying, just try it. Just fucking try it.
Live on air on us.
Yeah, fucking hell. But yeah, just give it a shot. Just try it, like, for a month or two. You don't have to abstain completely. Just dial it back. Maybe one day, 2 days a week. If you think 1 day a week is two days a week. Every Tuesday and Thursday. That's your porn days. Try it. Guarantee. You'll be healthier. Body and mind.
Just goes to show, like, you can literally not masturbate at all and still be a fucking degenerate.
Actually, maybe
that was, like, the end consequence of that. Like, it was, like, the opposite of watching too much porn. Like, he got so horny that he just decided to try, like, more and more weird shit.
And if you have a significant other and you feel like looking up some porn, forget that. Just fuck your significant other. If they're not in a mood, warm them up. Learn what your significant other's into so you can just turn that mood on. Because you know what doesn't negatively affect your behavior? Actual fucking sex. That's actually incredibly positive. And it's fantastic for your health. Burns off calories and everything. That's like, that says something kind of magical. Actually having sex frequently is very healthy. Masturbating to porn just as frequently, incredibly unhealthy. That amuses me to no end.
Well, explains Hugh Hefner, I guess.
Yes, it fucking does. That man was healthy and wealthy until the day he died. It was hard to find a picture of Hugh Hefner without a smile on his face. Just saying, folks.
Is that like
try it out.
Is like that his equivalent of I read it for the articles, like I only have sex for my health.
I wouldn't say only, that's a happy coincidence. See, that was a fascinating little look into the human psyche. So that's what I wanted to start with. Max, what did you have?
Yeah, I had several like minor things. One of the things I'd like to start with is since we were already speaking about pathetic degenerates, anyone remember those amusing little Toho meme videos by this person calling themselves Sir Yes?
Yes, isn't that where the speak directly into my snorch that we frequently cite comes from?
Yep.
Well, it turns out that he kind of went insane because of too much Tumblr. And he deleted all his old videos because he's really ashamed of them and his friends were judging him for them and something-something homophobic slurs and... Well, you can call me an SJW, but that's just my decency. And I was like,
So, who do you think he's trying to fuck? Because, you know, that's always what this is about. They're trying to fall in with some crowd or trying to get fucking vegan pussy.
Yeah. I wonder if this guy realizes that, like, if his friends are literally such fucking assholes that they're gonna, like, negatively judge him for making these videos, then maybe they're not worth being friends with. And Christ,
you know, you'd think that, but a lot of people will go into these cliques if it feels like it gains them something that they have a deep need for. Like, look at all the people that just jump through hoops to suck anime voice actor dick. Because they just so desperately want that anime voice actor to see them as a friend. Even though that anime voice actor is clearly an obnoxious prick. But they just need that validation so much that they will adopt such stupid viewpoints and arguments and all kinds of shit.
You know, like all the other guys that used to be funny and then, due to their girlfriend, turned insane.
Yeah, it's just, if people, I'm having a hard time kind of formulating this thought here, but the basic gist of it is, if people will just say, do, or adopt the stupidest shit, if doing so will bring them something that they have an irrational, emotional need for.
I mean, Spoonie and I, for example, was always just a dickhead. That was always the case, but ever since he had that fucking straight out of Tumblr girlfriend, like, he really ramped up, like, the politics shit. That's basically half his Twitter now. The other half is fucking shit posting about obscure old comics and wrestling. Hmm? And the other half is, Trumpery, I'm gonna take everyone down with me because of my fucking healthcare. Someone's gotta pay for it.
Fucking Boogie and Spoonie team up to be the someone's gotta pay bros.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Spoonie would have money if he actually did stuff.
No, but you don't understand. Spoonie has crippling depression. Jumps into a wheelchair.
Well, he should count his blessings. At least he doesn't have osteoporosis.
So, Andrew, do you have a little something you wanted to contribute?
Well, I have something I want to talk about and something I don't want to talk about, but I know I should.
We'll start with the one you think will be the most fun. Yeah, for whatever reason.
I really want to talk about Bloodstained. Because they had that game that came out to kind of build hype for the main game.
Yeah, I still got to play that.
It's excellent. It's probably the closest we'll get to a Castlevania 3 remake. Because it has the multiple character gimmick. Although you can't just do a solo run as not Grant if you feel like it. there's not a lot to say other than just, you know, super solid game. I'm I'm a lot more confident about Ritual of the Night now. Because
I never doubted it for a second. Because fucking Iga, man.
No, Iga, I always thought it was going to be at least alright. But, you know, after playing this, I'm like, okay, they have a handle on things. It's not going to be a case where, like, they had a good creator who got attached to a bad team. He's obviously got some good quality control people around. He's got either enthusiastic staff on Into Creates or... Like, they weren't bringing their A game for Mighty No. 9, obviously. But they are for Bloodstained, so... I'm pretty confident in that Ritual of the Night is going to turn out pretty well.
Seen some people... Yeah, I've seen some people complain about the 3D concept, because I guess they wanted it to be more 2D. But really, like, 3D has its own advantages. For instance, in 3D, you can have your character wear the pirate hat.
Well, they don't have costumes you can swap out in Curse of the Moon, but they do have the ability to murder your own allies to power up the starting character, which is something I appreciate. Because the life system in Curse of the Moon is, if you die, you just switch to the next character you have and keep going through the level, but if you run out of characters, you lose life and revert to a checkpoint. So you can do challenge runs where you just kill everyone to acquire new abilities, and you just have to beat levels in one go.
Yes, and I gotta play that. Because you know me. I'm fucking... And this is funny, considering the last subject we talked about. I'm fucking horny for the Castlevania series. I fucking love that series. The only series I love more than Castlevania is Mega Man. Like, I'm gonna just snuggle with it. I get a new Castlevania game, we'll rub it on my face. Like, oh, girl, I can feel it. I can feel Castlevania in my vein. Castlevania. So the fact that, like, because on the one hand, I'm happy that it got, like, the Castlevania lore got a conclusion, because it didn't have to. And it did. It ended. Dracula's gone. But on the other hand, I'm sad to see it go, so I like this. I like Castlevania ended. The Belmont thing is done. Cat Dracula's gone. He's a high school boy now, and he's a good boy now. Which makes sense in context. And now it's like, but Castlevania in spirit didn't end, just that story's over, and now we have Bloodstained. I'm down with that.
I just realized Bloodstained is going to be even better for you, because... You know, it's being made by old Mega Man developers, and a lot of the bosses in Curse of the Moon feel like Mega Man bosses, so it's like a fusion of your two favorite series. You're going to play it, and you'll be, these are some Mega Man-ass bosses.
Oh, well, now, you just cock-teasing me at this point. Well, now I feel like I'm going to have to play Bloodstained in moderation.
It's a $10 game, go play it.
Shit. Only $10, I'm going to get it. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, like, as far as I'm concerned, Ritual of the Night could turn out to be another disaster like Mighty No. 9. It won't, but if it was, I'd still be happy because we got this out of it. It's like, alright, we got one excellent game, that's more than Mighty No. 9 gave us.
Then you cry like an anime fan on prom night.
Which would make me sad, except then Mega Man 11's coming, and just from what we've seen already, it looks like true Mega Man. Like, oh, yes! Thank you.
Yeah.
Also, I've been constantly thinking of trying to shoehorn in a joke with a main character and something about being horny, but I couldn't come up with anything.
I'm surprised. You could say you're horny for her, but you look weird, but it would work.
I'm surprised by Capcom, because we're getting Mega Man 11 and Devil May Cry 5. Yeah. They're just on fire lately.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Is this Capcom? What's going on? Yeah, next, I feel like the natural order of things.
Next, they're going to make a good Dead Rising game.
Oh, well, now that's asking a bit too much.
I just love that one Devil May Cry 5 joke picture that's been circulating with Dante talking to Nero and pointing at their trailer. So I was like, this is going to be our future.
And it's playing the Devil Trigger song.
Yeah.
You know, say what you will about Keiji Inafune, and there's a lot to say. The series he worked on, maybe except Mega Man, we got to see how Mega Man 11 is. The series he worked on just ain't right after he left. He at least knew how to do those series right. Like, the minute The nanosecond he left Capcom, Dead Rising turned to just hot garbage. Dead Rising 1 and 2, and off the record, mwah, mwah, fabulous games. And I hate zombie shit. So that says something. I fucking hate zombies. You come at me with this zombie shit, I kick you in the nuts. I fucking hate zombie. But you give me this Dead Rising, I'm like, all day. All night long. I'm singing all night long. I don't even particularly like that song very much. That's how much I like those games. It's so great. It's so fun.
Hey, speaking of both Mega Man and people being needlessly horny, here's just another reminder that the one fucking Mega Man artist that also did porn designed his own evil role character.
Yeah. Well, he pitched her to Capcom and they said no. So then, fine, I'm just going to use her anyway in my porn.
Well, she did actually appear in the comics, like in cameos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but no, I don't think it was the Archie one. I think it was the Dreamwave one.
Yes.
Which wasn't very good. The Dreamwave one, man, it's just Dreamwave comic gets my fanboy blood boiling, because that motherfucking comic never once had any of the classic robot masters. Motherfucker, the artist had to put some in the background just so we could get fucking Pharaoh Man and fucking Snake Man and shit in a fucking official Mega Man comic book. But no, we had Vending Machine Man or whatever the fuck that was. Oh, we'll make up stupid ass robot masters. We can't even put fucking, I don't know, Quick Man. Kiss my ass.
I wonder what the fuck he was thinking with that. It's like, okay, so first I'm gonna make my own fucking evil role original character, Do Not Steal. And then after Capcom fucking rejects her, well, fuck you, Capcom. I'm a draw porn of, like, my fucking role fucking your role. Fuck you.
That makes me sad, because he was, like, the best Mega Man artist. Hands down. But far and away. And then it turns out he's a fucking pedophile degenerate. And that just, it breaks my heart. You talk about raping one's childhood. That just that murdered my childhood. I just want to fall to my knees. Well, and the spotlight shines on me.
At least he didn't draw the porn in CalArts style.
Sakura petals falling down. Just sad music playing. I look up at the sky and I ask God why. And he doesn't answer because he's dead.
Also, I made this pun before, but I'm just going to make it again. Roly porn.
New. Get it away.
Actually, I seem to remember, like, him incorporating his fucking evil role character in, like, some official drawing, which was, like, some sort of alternate universe thing.
That wasn't official. That was, like, off his, I think, Pixiv or something.
I thought that was that somewhere, like, for some anniversary collection or some shit.
It might have been in, like, an art book or
something. Yeah, yeah, I think it was an art book. Like, the one where Dr. Wily had, like, yellow hair for whatever reason.
Yeah, and he had a beard instead of a mustache.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, that was just odd.
But,
Oh, he also does porn of, what's her name again, that one girl?
Kalinka?
Cossack.
Yeah, Kalinka.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, no.
Which is worse, because she's a real person. She's not like a robot, like, role you could make some bullshit excuse. No, Kalinka's an actual child. Oh, no! Help me. Call the police. Well, let's take that stake out of my heart, and let's talk about something better that won't make me want to fucking cry.
Well, I have bad news because my other topic.
Well, let me talk about something good first. So, I want to shoot a recommendation to the people of something that just sounds weird that I'm going to recommend this. You're going to think, what the fuck? But I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to tell you why. You should watch it. I'm talking about Vic Mignogna's Star Trek fan series. Y'all fucking silent right now. You know, where the fuck is he going with this? Okay, so I'm going to flashback, all right? So I'm listening to some shit while I'm drawing. Someone had linked Butch Hartman has a podcast. He had Vic Mignogna on. I'm like, oh, well, won't this be charming? Two good Christian conservative boys talking about cartoons for they in the industry. Let's have a listen. Let's pop that shit in my ear holes. So, I listen to it, and they're talking about some things, having fun and whatever. And then they get to talking about Vic's Star Trek fan thing. That I've heard about this before. But he was talking more about it. He was talking about, like, oh, we went to all this stuff to recreate the sets exactly and recreate all this and do all this. And I got together, like, people that I was friends with so that I could work with them better. And we get people that were, like, Star Trek fans that were in the actual, like, movie industry. And people at ILM were coming by and seeing it all. And then fucking, like, Gene Roddenberry's son loved it so much that he declared it canon. And said that if his father were alive, he would too. And I'm like, HMMMM. Let me see this. I'm gonna watch one, pick a random one for shits and giggles. Let's take a look. Let's take a look, see what Vic did. See how Vic's William Shatner impression is, right? So I decided to watch one. And I was initially stunned, because not only did he recreate the sets, that he had gotten fully new, like, music. Like, he didn't just, like, take Star Trek soundtrack from, like, the original series. So we're talking about the original series here. He didn't just, like, take this. No, he had fully new soundtrack composed. And it, even the camera, like, the camera work, the camera quality looks like an HD restoration of, like, an old Star Trek episode. Like, that's how fucking precise he got the technical thing. So I'm just watching this out of, like, curiosity. And then I find myself continuing to watch it. Now, keep in mind, I don't like Star Trek. I have no interest in Star Trek. None. Zero. Fucking goose egg. My father is a huge Star Trek fan, so I've seen Star Trek. I have no interest in Star Trek. I have maybe a pedestrian in, like, I'm not against it. I have a pedestrian sort of, look at that Star Trek. Okay, bye. Like, that's my feelings on Star Trek. So this should give you some perspective on my verdict here. So I'm watching a little more of this. The writing's surprisingly sharp. So I'm watching a little more. I know that the original Star Trek always had a moral, and he recreates that here. So every episode's got a little lesson of the day, a little bit of that. So much, and the production values are, like, fantastic, because he nails the like, they even made these things, like, the exact budget that show had. not adjusted for inflation. And, like, even the cheesiness of some of the effects and like, some of the shit, I was like, it was just spot the fuck on. Like, it was more dead on in recreating what, like, 70s Star Trek looked like than Black Dynamite was at recreating the tropes from blaxploitation films. And the only thing that was, like, higher quality than the old Star Trek was the computer animation, like, when they showed outside the ship, which is understandable. So I was like, oh, that was kind of fun. And it's funny, you know, recognizing fucking all the voice actors. By the way, you can use this to identify which voice actors aren't psychotic ideologues, because if they're friends with Vic Mignogna and will be in his Star Trek fan series, they're probably not the psycho leftists that are trying to ruin his career. So then I watch another one. This is a little, like, popcorn viewing. This is amusing. And I will admit, Vic Mignogna does a damn good Shatner. So let's check this out. So I watch another one, and I'm gonna get the name of this one, because, folks, if you watch any of these out of curiosity, you gotta watch this one, and I'm gonna tell you why. Cause holy shit. Let me find the title, because holy shit. No, was that it? That might have been it. Yep. Episode 8, Still Treads the Shadow. If you watch any of them, watch this one. After watching this, I have come to the conclusion that of all people that do the whole anime voice acting thing, Vic Mignogna is the best actual actor. I'm gonna condense this. Now I'm hype as shit over a fucking Star Trek fan series. Just take that in with you, and I'm gonna explain to you why. So this is the basic gist of this episode, and I'm not going to get into the whole summary or the explanations why, but basically they come into a fucking ship, and through time travel, space-bending shenanigans, there's a second Captain Kirk that's, like, super old. And it's like he got split, but he didn't know he got split, and the split Kirk was in a fucking space where time was different, and he was, like, alone in the void for, like, decades, and he got old and crazy. And, like, Vic Mignogna's fucking acting! I was transfixed! I was fucking transfixed! By the end of this episode, I, as a person that gives no shits about Star Trek, none, was just fucking just, yes! That was so good! It's so good, people! Dude, you don't fucking know. You're sitting there with your judgmental eyes looking at this computer screen right now. I know you're there, man. But I'm telling you, you have to watch this. It's so good. I can't even get over it. I'm still not over because I'm remembering it now. Dude, give Vic Mignogna a fucking award. I don't give a shit if they don't have Oscars for internet fan series. You fucking make one and you give it to Vic Mignogna right the fuck now. Holy shit. I'm not over it, as you could plainly tell. I watched a couple others, and they're pretty fucking good. One I thought was kind of funny, because it looked like halfway through that the moral was going to be like a pro-refugee thing, which I'm like, what? Vic Mignogna's a conservative fella. I don't know, unless he's really channeling Roddenberry, because we all know how Roddenberry was.
Yeah.
Like, man, is he really getting in the role here? And then, no, it was just a generic anti-racism tract, which is fine. But just, you in this day and age, you hear, like, a story talk about refugees, and, like, your sphincter clenches, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But no, it was just, and it was really fucking clever, because what they did is they go to this planetoid, and the planetoid has, like, radiation hitting it that messes with your eyes, so you can't see color when you're there. So when they're there, they have the whole thing in black and white. And when they bring one of the people from this planet back to the ship, first of all, the way they do the whole reaction to her seeing color for the first time in her life is really well done. It's like, oh no, she got crazy color hair and skin! And it's like, hey, wait a minute, Captain, we took pictures of the people, on this planet, take a look, and they all look like, here's what it looks like in color, because the radiation doesn't affect cameras. Oh, they look different. Some shit's going on. Look at the people that they're in war with that are refugee there, that they're driving away. Turns out they've been there. It's crazy. And the reveal is so fucking good. It was so clever. As a guy that doesn't like Star Trek, I can firmly say Vic Mignogna's Star Trek fan series is fucking fantastic. Star Trek Continues is what it's called. Basically, the whole thing is the TV show was canceled before the... It was supposed to be the original Star Trek was supposed to depict a 5-year mission. And the TV show was canceled before they did all 5 years. So Vic's like, well, fuck, this dude, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do the rest. I got budget. I got friends. I know some people. I'm gonna fucking do it. And he did it. And it was so good that it was basically made canon. Imagine if a fucking fan fiction was so good, the original creator saw it, that's so good, it's canon. I declare it canon, it's that good.
Well, I mean, that happens all the time. Just look at Star Wars.
Oh, no. I felt Andrew's pain there. But that should tell you, that's how good, that's like never actually happened.
Yeah, like they liked someone's Kylo Ren X-Ray fan fiction so much they made it canon.
They called it The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
If those leaks about episode 9 turn out to be true, I won't know what to believe anymore.
What were the leaks? I never heard anything about that.
Force baby.
Yeah, Kylo and Rey have a force ghost baby.
What?
Because, like, yeah, in The Last Jedi, they were psychically communing, right?
Yeah.
In episode 9, they learn how to, like, physically manifest in front of each other, and they have a baby by force projection.
So they did the Darth Plagueis thing.
Yeah, basically.
I want it to be true. I need it to be true just to see the inevitable Red Letter Media video on that.
10 things you didn't know about force projection.
You know, I wonder if this works, if, like, the person in question is, like, a force ghost.
Yeah, can you fuck... Does it mean you can fuck a force ghost? Can I fuck dead Yoda? Is that what you're telling me?
Disney has been doing that, so...
It just sounds like such a bullshit fan theory, but then you remember everything in The Last Jedi. Like, they had Ghost Yoda summoning lightning for real.
Andrew, you're just angry because, like, the Resistance is a group, multicultural group, led by brave women fighting the evil white supremacists of the Empire.
Apparently, if the leaks are right, the Resistance is useless and only wins because there are Nazis helping them.
Well, yeah, I guess they didn't really think that through, but, yeah. I mean, again, like, the Resistance is so fucking incompetent. Like, they were the establishment, which is kind of odd that they called themselves the Resistance, but then again, it happens in reality, too, so I guess that's accurate. But, yeah, like, they had the fucking armies and everything else, and they basically lost to a bunch of fucking space terrorists. Like, this is the equivalent of, like, let's say, for example, if, I don't know, like, Obama was still president, and then, like, the fucking tiki torch wielding guys at Charlottesville took over the government. Like, with no real resistance. And everyone in the American military just, like, simultaneously tried to take aim at them and then shot themselves in the face. And then they bombed themselves because they couldn't aim right. That's basically the level of competence.
I'm good war, man!
That's basically the level of competence we're operating on here. But then again, I guess it makes sense. After all, the leader is Leia. And fucking Admiral.
I mean, all those Tumblr. Years of cocaine, man. You can't make some sound military decisions when you're that addled by coke.
You're which forgetting she doesn't the Resistance. The Resistance had the ultimate plan, which is don't kill the enemy, because if you kill them, they win.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful piece of Trudorian logic, isn't it?
You need to save the things you love, not kill the things you hate.
I need to save which the is an things actual, I...
Yes. It's an actual line in The Last Jedi.
I need to save the things I love by preventing them from killing the enemy, thereby allowing the enemy to kill us all.
At least I didn't kill the things I hate.
That whole scene could have just been copy-pasted and put in a Spaceballs movie. Because when she says that line, the Empire's mini Death Star blows up the Rebel base in the background.
Yes. It's especially funny because considering what the writers are like, you would think that instead they'd be going with some sort of variant, Star Warsian variant of Punch Nazis. But I guess they didn't. just baffling.
The amazing heroic triumph at the end of The Last Jedi is Rey force lifts a bunch of rocks so the 10 remaining rebels can get away.
Yeah, just through sheer coincidence she's there because she just knew they were there. And
because the Force told her. The Force...
Exactly, that's it.
The Force is Deus Ex Machina. That's what the Force is.
Yeah.
Deus Ex Force, fuck off.
Holy shit.
It could do anything you need it to do at that given time.
But yeah, if this is...
Well, apparently, since it saved Darth Maul from getting chopped in half.
But is he gonna team up with Obi-Wan Kenobi to fight his lower half?
No, that's gonna happen in the Darth Maul's lower half standalone movie.
A Star Wars story.
What happened?
Legs. A Star Wars story.
They're gonna have like little leg attachments for your drinks at the pop or the fucking movie.
Well, the thing is, they're making a Boba Fett movie, and I think Boba Fett might actually have less character than Maul's legs.
I was saying to some of the guys at my part-time job, if you want to make this Boba Fett standalone movie work, you got to roll with it. The only reason anyone likes Boba Fett is because he's cool. So just don't try to add lore, like, where did he get his armor? No. Just have, like, a fucking Die Hard in the Star Wars universe with starring Boba Fett. Just have Boba Fett get hired to take out some fucking crime lord or something. And he's paid for it, and he's got some cool lines, but like, man, I'll do it when I get paid, and not a moment before, or something like that. I'm only in it for the money. Like, and have him, like, spout out one-liners, like fucking Duke Nukem, and then just, like, have him do cool shit and walk away from explosions, and just come in, like, fucking laser machine guns like he's fucking John McClane. Then it will be awesome. That's how you do a Boba Fett standalone movie. He doesn't have character. People only like him because he's cool. Then just make the movie around Boba Fett being cool. But they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
but
that's because how it needs more women. It's going to turn out that Boba Fett is actually trans.
No, it's going to turn out that he had a female mentor that's like way cooler than he is.
Oh,
but she's going to, but she's going to like get killed, and then he's going to like be all sad and avenge her.
Yeah. Even though she's never going to do anything cool.
Yeah.
And then the final scene reveals the villain was Qui-Gon Jinn all along.
Oh god, it's gonna do fucking dumb lore shit. That's the worst part. None of these movies can just be a Star Wars story. It has to be fucking Star Wars wiki entries.
Yeah.
I mean, I already can't stand Star Wars.
The notorious hot insulation manufacturer. Oomagumaga.
We gotta explain where Han got his dice. Gotta explain why the Millennium Falcon has a hole in the front.
Yeah.
We gotta explain why Han is called Solo.
Yeah, all these fucking movies are literally that one Red Letter Media video now about Darth Vader's suit. That's all they are.
That's absolutely it.
I'm waiting for the Impel Sue recon movie.
It's like, Jesus Christ, yes! People, not everything needs an explanation. We do not need an explanation for why Han Solo is called Han Solo. Look, he's just fucking called Han Solo. This is like the same universe where someone is called Skywalker. I mean, come on, we can accept
that.
No,
it's the same universe where there is a man with the name Kit Fisto.
Just imagine a medical drama about the droids that put Darth Vader back together. Since it's canon, that one droid fucked it up, so he polished Vader's helmet, made it really shiny to distract Palpatine.
With voodoo hide.
I want a movie about that guy.
It's like Scrubs with droids.
I want a movie about Darth Vader's experiences as his fucking piece of shit suit constantly annoys him.
Just keeps beeping.
Yeah, like the scene where he tries to sleep.
Darth Vader's life alert keeps beeping for no reason while he's sleeping. A Star Wars story.
That's still one of the greatest videos on the internet. Oh,
Kylo Ren intentionally has basically like a cell phone there that just randomly beeps for no reason and his fucking bed rest just to be more like Darth Vader.
You know, as long as we're talking Star Wars, I'm gonna recommend some videos. There's this YouTube channel called Oral Knots, and they have a Kylo Ren review series where he talks about Disney Star Wars movies. You'd think it would be the cringiest thing ever having an in-character movie review, but it is amazingly funny. And I think Max has seen a couple of them.
Yes. This is funny.
So I suggest you check those out. I think my favorite bit they did was when he's talking about how people wanted him to
become a train wreck.
He was talking about how people wanted him to do a Solo review, and he's like, I think I already commented on Han Solo when I murdered him.
Also, didn't they say, like, the fucking Solo movie got approved when someone saw the scene of Solo getting his name? Seem to remember that. I would love to hear what the fucking Disney executive who approved that was thinking. It's like, who sees that scene of the, oh, so you're like all on your own and you need like a last name, so you're Han Solo now. It's like,
that was so retarded that they did that. That was so retarded Red Letter Media didn't even think of it.
That was so retarded that they did that movie.
Well, here's the thing I find interesting about the movie. You know who I notice have given the movie good reviews?
Shells.
Like, no, because it's been like Rich Evans, critical. It's people that hate Star Wars. If you hate Star Wars, you'll love Solo.
Hmm.
Because those are the people that have given it positive reviews are people that can't stand Star Wars, or at least can't stand Disney Star Wars, or have lost all love for Star Wars. People that just are fucking sick of Star Wars in one way or another. Apparently Solo's the movie for you. Everybody also, that I've talked to that's liked the movie have been people that can't stand Star Wars anymore, but saw the movie.
Also, for some reason, like, Lando's robot girlfriend was, like, Black Lives Matter or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, everybody's saying she's, like, the worst Star Wars character since Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, God.
Like, everybody was shitting on her. I think, yeah, Critical straight out said probably worse than Jar Wars. I can't talk. Probably worse than Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Wars, I want that now.
Oh, God.
Everyone is Jar Jar.
I can't wait for the Jar Jar standalone movie where he becomes a Sith apprentice.
That's not out of the realm of possibility, because at first I thought Disney was trying to bury the prequels, but no, they brought Darth Maul back.
Because he's the only one anybody likes, and they only like him for the same reason they like Boba Fett. He looks cool. It's the only reason he exists. Although, I gotta say, give him credit, give the devil his due. I like what they did with him. I like that he got his fucking cybernetic bottom half, and he just went underground and became a crime lord. That's actually kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
But he also threatens people with holographic lightsabers.
Yeah, that's fucking retarded. But I just love that idea. I think that's like the one good thing really come out of this. That's a cool idea, that Darth Maul went underground and became a crime boss. That's a cool idea.
You know what I can't wait for? The spin-off standalone movie about Darth Maul's brother, Savage Oppressor, Star Wars.
Oh, yeah! That's real, by the way. That's his real name. Savage Oppress.
And then
I love the names of bad guys
in
Star Wars. It's like two names removed from just Fat Meanie Head. Big Bad Man.
It's even more amazing because toward the end of like the Star Wars EU, George Lucas was openly trolling the people who come up with stuff like that. Because... He was being consulted for the Force Unleashed game, and he just started throwing out troll names for the main character's Darth title. Like, he said that he should be called Darth Insanius.
Wasn't one of them, like, Darth Icky?
Yeah, Darth Icky. Because the character's actual name is Star Killer. So George Lucas is just...
to be Luke's name.
Yeah, George Lucas was just trolling the people who came up with that.
Yeah. He was just trying so hard to fucking sink his own
series. Well, you could tell after a point he became bitter.
Yeah.
Like, very bitter.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
I think that Disney movies have to be some kind of plot to make me appreciate the prequels, because they're starting to look good in comparison, because they're still awful garbage, but they're the vision of one man.
Yeah, and at least they're different. Instead of just this painfully safe shit.
Yeah, at least he tried
plus Tumblr.
Something. I'd rather you try something than basically run on autopilot based on like what fucking test audiences tell you.
Yeah.
I think it's funny George Lucas is basically going to be vindicated by history.
Yeah.
by the way,
in a way.
People like to shit on the decision by Disney to basically make the entire EU non-canon. Especially Razor Fist, I think. But
oh, yeah,
really, it's like... Have these people seen the expanded universe? Like, there was nothing of value lost, people.
What, you mean you didn't like the deep storytelling of Palpatine's son with a third laser eye, laser-eyeing Princess Leia?
Or Darth lightsaber niece.
No, Cody, he was the one who got lasered because he tried to marry Princess Leia, but it was actually a Princess Leia robot.
Like,
with laser
eyes. I thought he shot lasers from his eye, though.
No, he got shot by Robot Leia's laser eyes.
Oh, Leia's laser eye shot him in the third eye that he has for some reason.
Yeah.
The expanded universe is so fucking bad. It is literally like a repository for ideas that are so terrible they didn't even use them in fucking episode 7 to whatever, 5 billion.
We could have a whole episode about the insanity of the Star Wars EU. Yeah. We could have one about just the Crystal Star.
Yeah. Okay, so, or that time when didn't Luke fall in love with the Force or some shit?
He fell in love with the Force ghost of...
Yes!
This woman from the Old Republic, and she possessed the body of one of Luke's dead students, and they started a relationship.
That is really creepy.
Baby, I love how you smell like copper and death.
Holy shit, though.
That aroma really gets me going.
Okay, so which ones...
I love how you give cops PTSD with your very presence.
So which one is worse, like the EU or the new Star Wars movies?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know what, I'm going to say the new Star Wars movies, because the EU is at least entertaining in its wackiness.
Technically, the EU is worse, but it's entertaining in its insanity.
Yeah. We can have this laughter about it. You can't... What are you going to laugh about? Okay, there's stuff to laugh about, maybe Last Jedi, but not quite as much, not quite as raucously. Yeah, like...
The crazy funny stuff in the sequel trilogy is more minor, like Luke milking an alien tit.
Yeah.
And then drinking it. The insanity in the old EU was stuff like the Great Waru, a giant golden cube that is a faith healer, but it's also a portal to another dimension, and it tries to absorb Luke for his force power. That was the actual villain of one of the books.
Amazing. Oh, did you know that the fucking Luke drinks from the alien's testicles scene? Like, some people try to justify that by saying, well, he's a farmer.
They forgot what he farmed.
Yeah, moisture.
Well, titty milk.
Well, I mean, it's
moisture.
A kind of moisture. Yeah. Thinking the same thing there. Technically, that's moisture.
I wonder what the fuck they were thinking with that scene.
Because it's trying to show how grizzled he is, and he's living off the land.
Oh, of course. They should have just showed him roasting a pork, then.
Yeah. Not fucking just squirt, squirt, gulp. He throws that shit back, too. It's like, fuck, this is gonna suck, but this is my sustenance.
I like how after he fucking drinks it, he just stares at Rey.
Well, that's what you do when you just milk a creature and then immediately drink it in front of somebody. You just stare. It's your move.
Truly, truly, Luke is the biggest Mommy GF fan. Or maybe he just wanted to compare. God,
oh my.
The new movies are practically self-parody.
I hope the rumors about episode 9 are true.
Yeah, holy shit.
Babies.
Supposedly, like, the same source that claimed this was also the one that leaked, like, the details of episode 8. I mean, again, we won't exactly know, but it sounds believable enough, and this sounds like the sort of beats the story would hit with the way that it's going. Like, we obviously know that, like, fucking Kylo Ren and Rey being in some sort of romantic relationship is going to be the end game. So,
yeah, like,
especially, and then they're probably going to have them have kids in one way or another, so they can make another fucking sequel trilogy with their children.
Yeah, I'm going to be skeptical because it could just be that person was making lucky guesses about The Last Jedi, but I hope the leaks are true.
Yeah, it would be fucking fantastic.
Oh my god. It may be like the fucking final Twilight movies. It just goes so fucking batshit insane, you have to watch it for the comedy value.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if it can top Werewolf Falls in Love with an Infant. But I'm pulling for it. One of the things I want to bring up, is another thing like I just saw today, but I got to talk about it. I watched a new episode of My Hero Academia, bringing it back to anime. That was worth the awful first 3 episodes of this season. As I don't know, Max, I think you've read the manga.
Yeah.
I think you caught up on the manga, yeah. Andrew, I don't know how much you've seen of it.
Nothing.
You should. It's really good. Although it has its fucking flaws. Good lord.
Like Star Wars.
Yeah. It's really
literally. Because it keeps referencing Star Wars.
Yeah, the fucking author's a big Star Wars fan. Like, all the regions of the city it takes place in are named after Star Wars planets.
Yeah. Or, like, there's this one technique that, like, fucking Lemillion, like, the guy that has the power to, like, phase through matter. He has this one attack where he, like, goes through the ground, like, walls or whatever, and then just, like, hits you and you can't avoid it. Since he can just phase through shit, and he calls it the Phantom Menace.
That's funny.
Yeah, I
he's even referencing episode 1.
I don't know a lot about the series other than All Might, and they do a lot of visual humor with the Invisible Girl, and also yes. The main character is apparently insufferable.
I wouldn't even call him insufferable. It's just there are points that he just gets really annoying. Most of the time he's fine. He does his job.
The main character's best friend is insufferable.
Yeah. But the problem is the author, I forget his name, doesn't seem to realize you can't base an entire character off that like inspirational moment of a shonen, you know what I mean? Like that moment where they pick themselves up, I'm gonna do this. That's all he is all the time. Like I do appreciate
it's
that
like
it gave
Naruto.
Yeah, a little bit. I but not as quite as bad as Naruto, because he's at least got some character to him. I like that he has these little personality quirks, like with the muttering and the whole him being a huge nerd and everything. That helps make him more tolerable, but there just gets it. The problem is he's incredibly predictable. You know exactly what he's going to do in every motherfucking situation.
Well, there's only so many ways he can punch people.
Yeah, and then it gets really stupid, like where it's like fucking 1,000,000% power.
Oh god,
shit.
Fuck off!
Yeah, that was. I wanted to punch my screen when I saw that, and I'm like, I'm generally on board with My Hero Academia, and that fight was doing really cool up until that moment. I'm just like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, the 1,000,000% thing, like he doesn't even do it again, from what I remember.
Yeah,
like not even against fucking Overhaul.
Yeah. Because he can't push himself that much. It's not where I can't do it.
Even like, though he literally could have while he was fighting Overhaul because of, you know, bullshit, but still.
Like, it just pissed me off. But, and the thing is, season three, the first three episodes, because I'm just watching the anime until season three ends, and then I'm going to pick up the manga where that leaves off. Because so far the anime's done a really good job. Good pacing. It helps that they're not, they take season breaks, so they don't have to do filler.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. And they've been doing a really good job with that. Great job with the soundtrack, except for the opening and ending themes.
Yeah,
those are terrible. Yeah, those are fucking terrible. The openings to the show are completely interchangeable in every way. And they're not good songs. They seem like just like Disney Channel rock. Yeah, they have no real melody, and they feel like Disney Channel rock. It's like, is this the fucking Naked Brothers Band speaking Japanese at my ass? And the fucking end theme in this season? What the fuck? You know what I'm talking about, Max. Because you be, and especially some epic shit will happen, and we end on a cliffhanger, and what do we immediately cut to? Fucking sketches coming up. Like, what the fuck? It ruins the mood every time. It's such a jerk. It's just a whiplash. And I'm pissed because it ruined, because this, the latest episode that just aired was incredible. It was the fight, the conclusion of the fight between All For One and All Might. And it was incredible. I was feeling it in my soul. I was damn near fucking cheering for All Might. And I like villains. All For One, by the way, is a fantastic villain. Fantastic villain. One of the shonen greats. I'm putting him up there. Not quite like Crocodile Zamasu level, but he's up, he can see him from where he's at. But, like, even I'm fucking rooting for All Might, I'm getting that fucking into it, just, oh god, it's just, yeah, getting, you're right in the emotions, and then it's all fuck, it ends, and it's all fucking, you're feeling shit, you're feeling all this shit, fucking, you're, you know, you're next, it's your turn next, and then, oh god, my chest is heaving! Oh, God! And then the episode ends. Fuck! It's dead now! All those feelings are dead now!
Yeah. Also, wasn't, like, that little kid character your favorite character?
No, I hope he's dead! I hope something happened off-camera and he's dead!
That was, like, the most predictable shit ever.
It was.
Here, I hate heroes because my parents are dead and I don't know why they died.
That is literally the same motivation that Shigaraki has, and he's way better with it. Way better.
Wait, who?
Shigaraki, hands man.
Oh, him, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy dude. Like, All For One second.
Yeah, and at least you're supposed to hate him.
I fucking love him. He's a fantastic character. Yeah. I love everything. Oh, God, I love... There's just so much love about this series. But then it'll just do something really stupid. It's like a family member that you really love, but does have an obnoxious habit. Like, oh man, my cousin's the greatest guy. I love my cousin. But God damn it, every time he comes over my house, he wrecks my toilet. I love having him over. He's great to hang out with. But every time he goes to the bathroom, I'm like, God damn it, I know what I'm doing tonight. Let me go get, so get fish out the fucking toilet cleaner.
Sounds like the little kid character is the equivalent of Wings of Redemption. He just shits up the metaphorical toilet of your anime.
Like, that really is My Hero Academia. Like, even the whole reason I even like it, because I stuck past that awful first episode. That first episode was so... That first episode was just so... Ugh. Like, nothing. Not even just meh. Like, I have no inclination to watch any more of this, but I will give it another shot of the goodness of my heart. And I'm glad I did, because that second episode ends with... Man, he comes up to fucking Deku at that fucking alley and he says, son, you could be a hero. And I'm like, oh, God, my heart! I need a minute! I love you, All Might, you fucker!
Every time All Might is not on screen, everyone should be asking, where's All Might?
Really? Like, holy shit, man. There's also a reason everybody loves him.
Yeah, why the fuck is Lamillion not the main character, by the way? Especially since, well, spoiler alert, I guess, but he, like, lost his power, literally. And he still is like, I'm not gonna let this get me down, I'm gonna be a hero still anyway. And then it's this is, like, so much more interesting than fucking Deku. Who just has, like, the super OP power that lets him win every time.
I want to root for Deku. I like his situation. It's an inspirational situation. I mean, it's written to be inspirational. It's kind of transparent. But it still works. It's effective, if transparent. And, you know, I like his personality quirks. He seems like he should be a good character. But god damn it, he's so one note.
Yeah. The problem Deku has with his, as far as his power goes, is just, like, A, there's not too much he can do with it, since it's, you know, literally just like, I'm super strong. And B, even though he's ostensibly the underdog and all that shit, he still has, like, the most fucking OP power in the entire series.
Well, to be fair, at least, you know, he's been clever enough in still holding him back with, you know, his body. He just got it. His body can't handle it and it fucks him up. So he can't just keep... He just can't keep swinging those megaton punches. Break his fucking arm. But I feel like it took a little too long for him to make progress on that. Like, how the fuck long are we going to have to deal with your fingers breaking every time you make a supersonic flick? Fucking learn to fix that shit after a while. I need to see some kind of progress with this motherfucker.
Well, he does get training for it.
Yeah, he does, but I think it took a little too long. Like, by the time that whole fucking school tournament thing happened, I was sick of it. I was sick of seeing his purple-ass fingers. It's like, fucking learn, just learn. Especially to fucking since fix that this. Shit,
that's one of the things that annoys me, like, no matter how much he fucks himself up, it never really has any consequences. It's like, yeah, okay, he's got a scar on his hand now. Fucking amazing.
Yeah. Then he should have been, like, a little bit more... It kind of feels like One Piece does that, too, a little bit. But at least it kind of lives with... And I think My Hero Academia does do this. Like, you are taking years off your life. So, it's
they
kind of
they all do that. Because it sounds like it's a really big consequence. But it never matters in any way whatsoever.
It was fine when One Piece did it, but I think One Piece started a trend, because then a bunch of other shonen, I was like, hey, wait a minute, yeah, that's like a lasting consequence, but it's not an immediate one, so I can keep them doing the same thing. It's like, well, great, now they're all doing this. You know, hey, I got it when Luffy did it, because it was like, you know, it's keeping with the theme that Luffy is so intense, he's just fucking himself up. Luffy, don't do that, Luffy. He's like, I'm gonna do that. Don't do that, Luffy. I'm gonna do that. So
hey,
it's keeping...
Remember when they said, like, Gear Second was, like, this really horrible strain on the body that is, like, gonna kill you eventually, and now he just fucking busts it out casually, whatever.
But that's because fucking someone like Silver's Rayleigh taught him how to do this shit, so
I give that.
And then, like, he's, like, fucking mixing in hockey with all this shit. It's fucking superpower soup. But it's still, I fucking hate those forms. They're just so fucking bullshit out of nowhere. It's like, fucking, here's Super Saiyan 4. I didn't fucking foreshadow this at all. Just pull it out of my ass. Oh, here comes the next arc. Turns out I got another one. I got like 8 of these fucking things. They're like alternate costumes. I just got a fucking in my pocket.
At this point where fucking everyone and their mother has haki, is there even a point to Logias anymore?
Well, yeah, they're still really fucking powerful.
But it's, yeah, like, but only like for scrubs.
Not really. I mean, fucking goddamn Aokiji. Even with fucking, I mean, granted, his Whitebeard, he sucked, but Whitebeard's hockey, he's still fucking just, I'm still ice, nigga, what? It didn't work. So I guess you could still fucking do that shit if you're, you just, it's not, it just, you don't get the automatic pass-through with hockey. You can still fucking turn to a big donut and dodge that shit or whatever. You just don't get the automatic shit. That's the gist. And mainly is that because Oda couldn't just keep doing the elemental Pokemon weakness every time a Logia user showed up. Fuck, I need to make something universal here.
Though it would have been hilarious.
Yeah, but I totally get why he couldn't keep that up. Totally get it. Like, yeah. After a while, I was like, okay, this guy's a Logia. What do we got? What's the type chart?
I wonder how the Monet fight would have gone if that was like the case. Maybe they would have turned on the heater. They could kill your snow, so therefore we're gonna melt you.
We'll put, knock her into a hot springs or some shit.
Or that,
yeah, something like that.
Instead, she got Allahu Akbar'd. Which is clearly just a show of Oda's outrageous sexism that, like, the only female Logia user just gets killed off.
No, actually, Oda's very progressive because Luffy is Antifa and Wapol is Trump.
Well, of course.
But yeah, like that, like I got it there in One Piece. It fit an overall larger theme, and it just feels like now a bunch of other shonen users stroked their chins and went, "Hey, that's a good shortcut."
That way, we won't have any consequences.
So Deku pissed me off because I want to like the bastard. I do. I want. He is actively. I am trying to like you. You fucking Spike Spiegel haired little shit. Stop making it difficult. It's like. When you get the other people involved, their fights are more strategic. It leans more JoJo. And then when Deku comes on, I'm just going to hit him really fucking hard. It didn't work. I got to hit him harder.
I do find his flashbacks amusing, though, just for the little detail of how his mother kept getting progressively more rotund.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally round at this point. She basically turned into a fucking gross Tico from Star Wars.
She looks... I was going to say she looks like the outermost Matryoshka doll, but that works too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, admittedly, that's an insult to Deku's mom, but still.
But there's a lot, even with his flaws that I like to bitch about, there's so much to love about My Hero Academia. That's why the flaws stick out more. Like, oh man, that season 2 ending was really great when fucking Shigaraki showed up at the mall. Man, that scene was some top-notch shit. Let's go right into season 3. Let's go right into season 3. I'm ready for this shit. We're gonna go to camp. Gonna go to Camp Retard Town. Here's little boy. He's a dick.
Did you see, like, the Virgin Chat meme with the Villain Alliance and the fucking Mafia guys?
I see, yeah.
The Virgin Alliance versus the 8 Chads of Death. Have a plan to kill All Might, maybe. Which is funny because that's pretty much their plan.
Like, there is just so much great, but then, like, it will just smack you in the face with something so stupid that it feels like the show was so good it should know better.
Like Bakugo.
Yeah, like everything about that fucking character. Like, yeah. How are you fucking swimming in all these fantastic characters, but one of the main fucking characters is this fucking terrible?
Actually, it doesn't help if, like, the 3 most popular characters are respectively, like, A, Deku, when he's not that great. Then there's fucking Bakugo, who is terrible.
I don't get that. I don't get how he's popular.
Yeah. And then there's Todoroki, who's terrible.
I understand why he's popular, though, because that is a character written for the melodramatic 14 to 16-year-old.
Yeah, that he's is Cold Steel the Hedgehog.
He's not like full Cold Steel, but he is condensed. Like, if you really like Kingdom Hearts unironically, you'll love Todoroki.
But I don't.
Then you don't.
So is he the strongest member of the Fighting Hero Academy?
He's the strongest guy in the class, yeah.
And his father is Hitler, metaphorically.
Like, and he's got the tragic backstory.
Son, now grow up to be red and white and hate me forever.
Holy shit, it is.
I think it's method personnel, Dad.
Yeah. Well, great, now I know what's going to happen in My Hero Academia's final battle.
His backstory is such a fucking joke, I swear to God.
It is. Also, how the fuck does boiling water permanently not only give you a red part of your hair, no, your red part of your face, but also dyes your hair red? How does that work?
No, his hair is red because of his dad.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It just so happened that she burned the one spot with the red hair?
Yeah, like, we see his other family members, and they all have that because, like, the mother has, like, the white hair because of her ice powers, and the father the red hair because of his fire powers, because... And they all have, like, white, red hair, only, like, some of them have,
oh, yeah,
like,
right,
more
his sister
with,
was the other way around. It was,
yeah,
like, mostly
with, like,
red
with streaks.
White, yeah.
But he's, like, the only one who's got it, like, fucking parted and who's got both powers.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that this kid was literally, like, an attempt at eugenics.
Yeah, that was the part I did like, that because that is an interesting way to sort of explore the setting where you have a world now where fucking everybody has superpowers, where there was, like, fucking superpower breeding, like, arranged marriages to breed superpowered children.
Yeah.
Based on
also, they bring this up again, actually, in the manga later, because there's this bit where fucking Gurr, as you like to call him, and some of the other artists...
For those, I don't know if I ever brought on the show, I refer to Bakugo exclusively as Gurr, because that's literally all there is to his character.
Yeah.
So his name is just Gurr to me.
Yeah, where he, Fryface, and all the other artists had to... do, like, some sort of remedial course because they sucked so much. So what they had to do was, like, take care of this kindergarten class. And the kindergarten class, like, they were all unbelievably huge little shits. To the point where I was actually, like, starting to side with Bakugo. And I was like, why can't he just blow them up? But, like, the interesting thing that they bring up is, like, all these kids... have, of course, also superpowers, which they liberally use against the group. And it's pointed out that, like, due to the way that quirks are inherited, like, if like, one person has a superpower and the other one a different one, usually the child will have, like, some sort of mixture of the two. So due to superpowers now existing for a few generations, that basically means, like, the next generation already has, like, insanely terrifying powers when they become adults, and they're basically gonna keep mixing together and get stronger and stronger.
Yeah, that's kind of a terrifying idea.
Yeah,
but I like that they explore that.
I mean, how, like, Bakugo is, like, an example for that. Like, his mom's quirk is literally just that she sweats this nitroglycerin kind of equivalent, which just makes her skin smooth.
And his dad just has the sort of explosive thing.
Yeah.
And then, so he secretes nitroglycerin that he can then explode, and, you know, all this crazy shit.
It's kind of disturbing that Bakugo's bodily secretions are explosive.
And that he designed his costume to store them.
Yeah.
So he can launch them. He launches his bodily secretions from his gloves.
Like, that's not how you want to bang a girl.
But there's, like, there is, like, so much great shit. And that finale, man, that was some top. That whole All Might, All for One fight. By the way, I thought it was really clever, the All for One, One for All powers, and Guy with the name. Like, I like how they also affect, like, the powers fit the name of the whole Three Musketeers phrase. It's clever. It's a little dumb thing that I like. It's all for one, because he steals everybody else's powers. He's got a repository of all these powers that he's stolen from people. And One for All, he's got his really specific, really powerful power that he uses to help other people instead of stealing powers from other people. He's One for All for One. It's fucking dumb, but clever. I like it.
It's also One for All because it's, like, a power that's passed on to other people.
Yeah. But it's a lot of really great. I fucking loved that whole thing. But, like, season 3's first couple episodes are just, they're so bad, I just skipped through most of them. I think I maybe watched 10 minutes of the third episode. It was that bad, I was just skipping. And it's just like, okay, class, here's your new assignment test. This is like watching other people play fucking Mario Party. Okay. Use your powers to cook dinner. Let's watch that!
And here's this unbelievably obnoxious little shit.
And instead of everybody going, that kid's dick, get him away, Deku's like, no, I have to save his soul. Where do you hide out, little child? Let me bond with you. Fuck that. Okay, now let's spend the next 15 minutes watching people with superpowers cook dinner. This is exciting television.
Oh, of course.
I'm on the edge of my seat. And then, but then, like, episode 4 is like, fuck, okay, here we go. It was goose the fuck out of this season. Woo! Fucking villain, League of Villains show up. Shit is real!
One of which is literally a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Fucking love I love the League of Villains. They're all fucking entertaining. Cool powers. I like Twice. I looked up Twice's backstory. It's fantastic. Fucking love it. Fucking loved it. As soon as those motherfuckers showed up, it's like, alright, here, we're here to fix the show. We noticed that none of this was entertaining. We're here to change that.
There's also this amusing scene with him later, like, where fucking crazy hair girl encourages him after he gets, like, slightly depressed and he just immediately asks to marry her. By the way, did they get to that bit where she had popped up for the first time, where she was in disguise as another girl?
I don't remember her doing that.
Like there was this bit where she had disguised herself as like a member of the school, and she kept stalking Deku while naked, because of the way that her power worked, it's like she can change shape, but her clothes don't change shape with her.
I was wondering what her power was, because they never revealed it.
Yeah, and like the chick that she imitated, we actually get to see her later, where she takes like the rework course, so to speak, for like the people that had failed the previous exam. And she speaks like in really fucking stereotypical Valley Girl shit, basically.
Yeah, I tell you what, that fucking League of Villains saved the shit. Like, it was night and fucking day.
Yeah.
Night and day. Like, those first three episodes were... That might be the boring. Worst My Hero. That might be the worst My Hero Academia has ever been. With those first three episodes of season 3, holy hell! I can't even imagine reading that shit because I'm sure that was like multiple manga chapters. So, oh my god, can you imagine just that shit? Turn in next week, find out if they made dinner. Oh, they did. Okay, I hope it's yummy. But we sure would like some plot progression. Oh no, we're back to the child. Oh boy, he shoots. He comes out of his hands. Oh boy. I have riveted on the edge of my rivet seat.
I guess that way he could bond with Bakugo.
It's still really good, though. Overall, I'd recommend it.
And knees weak, palms are sweaty.
It will give you a palate cleanser after what comes up next. Because I understand you've been watching an anime and it's not quite good.
Oh...
Not quite good. Yeah, I figured I should have an anime to talk about instead of Star Wars and video games, so I watched the first two episodes of Fooly Cooly Progressive.
Because as you know, we're already such big fans of Fooly Cooly, I say, with not a drop of sincerity in my entire fucking voice.
Well, it's kind of like the Disney Star Wars movies, because it's making me appreciate the first series a lot more. And it feels the same thing. It's like, we will just cynically reference everything in the original without actually understanding anything about it. I mean, it's trying to do the same thing, where it's all wacky, but also, I'm going to make serious points about stuff, except the original was very cut and dry, just, it's about puberty and coming of age. In the new one, I don't know what it's about, because it has these Evangelion philosophy scenes that don't go anywhere. The very first line in the series is, "The world must be destroyed before it can become beautiful."
What the fuck does that mean?
It means finally, Fooly Cooly has accepted our religion of the Church of Zamasu. He's understand that we must purge the mortals from this world so it can be beautiful.
Just so that there can't be any more Fooly Cooly.
The opening...
Then the world will finally become beautiful.
the opening scene was when I knew it was going to be a train wreck. Because it has the female main character, Hidomi. Like, she has a horn, and she's walking around this wasteland as her body falls apart, and then she has a nude transformation scene and becomes a robot and destroys a bunch of those irons from the original show.
As so low random, but also lore. I'm masturbating as we speak.
Then she wakes up because it was a dream, but it's also something that's going to happen at some point because later she does grow that horn.
If I want people to metaphorically turn into robots, I'll just watch Ping Pong the Animation. Thank you very much. Yeah, which, by the way, everyone should watch. But we'll get to that later.
There's so much. I should just review the series, because I've already watched one third of it.
I thought you were going to. You were writing a review for the series.
Yeah, now I'm cemented in that opinion.
Okay, so wasn't the horn thing, like, with the main character, wasn't that, like, basically, like, a metaphor for boners?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole joke was boners.
So does she have a penis, or what?
No, now it's lore.
Or is that supposed to be, like, a head clitoris now?
It's lore now. It's not a metaphor for boners anymore. It's update the wiki. It's lore.
I'll tell you why they do that is because in the original it was a boner symbolism, but in this, they fall into that fanfic trap where something that was significant in the original is now just taken for granted as its own thing, so they put it in without thinking about the original context. Like, they have another girl who has a guitar she uses as a weapon, like Haruko, and they fight each other because, you know, they gotta have more. There's a lot to talk about here. But just, it's so self-referential that at the end of the first episode, Hidomi is looking at her phone and there's this scrolling wave of text messages while everyone is saying "Fooly Cooly." It's just the text messages "Fooly Cooly" over and over, and she just scrolls through it for 2 minutes, and then her teacher rips off her face and reveals it was Haruko in disguise the whole time, and the entire classroom stands up and applauds.
What?
And the next episode opens with the students bringing out a photo album that's nothing but pictures.
Did Haruko make a good one-liner against a bigot? Is that why they all stood and applauded?
And then the whole school.
The next episode, they bring out this photo album that's nothing but pictures of Haruko, and all of the students talk about how crazy and awesome and just wacky she is, and tell stories about how they love her.
And that Haruko's name, Albert Einstein.
It really does feel like one of those copypastas. It's crazy, because in the original show, like, the only people who ever acknowledge Haruko's existence is main character's family and Eyebrow Man, but now she's some kind of super popular girl in-universe who everybody adores.
Gee, I wonder why.
And
could it be because of she's really popular in reality? Just like Darth Vader. Wow, this really is Star Wars.
That's what the whole series is like. they basically made a second Haruko who's trying to hunt down original Haruko, except she is this super anime JRPG design. Like, she has Gurren Lagann glasses and tan skin with pure white hair. And later she gets a maid outfit.
Why is Haruko not still hanging out with her bird boyfriend?
She got all the fetishes going. Do you like chocolate girls and maids? Also, she got the Gurren Lagann glasses. You like that show, right? Of course you do. You like her. Buy our figures. She's on a pillow now. Buy it!
I don't get the maid obsession.
It's like the girl is a servant of you. It's
that's
like
gay.
It's like fancy slave. It's like she has to. It's like a combination of slave fetish and mommy GF. It's not even a joke.
Fucking otaku.
It's like, she has to obey me and makes me dinner. This is my ideal. I never really learned to take care of myself.
Real cheese sandwiches.
My parents are ashamed of me. After I moved out, they told everyone they never had children. That it was all a prank.
This series feels like a prank because they took out the thing that made Fooly Cooly, I don't want to say redeemed it, but the best part, which is the animation, Because everything in this new series is just so stiff and low effort. It's like they have no budget at all.
Haha, stiff.
I mean, it's production IG, so you know what they're capable of.
But and no... I'm really starting to think production IG really does half-ass shows they don't give a shit about. Like, you can tell...
No, they obviously are.
You can tell what they care about. You can fucking tell when they give a shit.
There are scenes where Hiromi is just drawn as a bedsheet ghost. They just made an outline and eyes. And it's something that in another show you could say, oh, it's symbolic, but there's no rhyme or reason to this. It's just, okay, she's an outline now. We didn't feel like drawing her.
No, see, don't you get it? It's like deep symbolism because it's like a reference to Medjet, clearly.
Which sounds like a fucking insurance company, I swear, every time I hear that god's name. Buy Medjet. for when you're worried that birds will crap on your life, I don't know.
And then we will destroy them with laser eyes. Medjet is destroyed.
Yeah, fucking, I feel in many ways redeemed. Because it was clear that, I mean, for those who don't know, the entire reason there is a sequel to Fooly Cooly is because the people that run Adult Swim are huge Fooly Cooly fanboys, and they basically use their money to force Fooly Cooly back to life. It's like that episode of The Simpsons where it's like a world where Bart takes over, and like, because he's like got psychic powers or some shit. I think it was a Treehouse of Horror, I don't know, I haven't seen The Simpsons in years. And like, he's forcing Krusty to like do his show forever, and it's like, he's like fucking exhausted because Bart won't let him stop. That's Adult Swim with Fooly Cooly.
Yeah, the original creators all hate it.
Yeah. But, you know, Adult Swim, like, no, this is great! This like, is great! If you heard that they don't like it, pillows. You were lied to.
I think that all the big people involved with Fooly Cooly have said bad stuff about the concept of a sequel. Like, the director, the writer, the character designer... Just, they're all shitting on the idea, saying, no, we made a complete story, why are you making more?
Actually, speaking of the original, so if the entire thing was basically just like a fucking story about growing up and shit, and like puberty and so on, what the fuck was that thing with Haruko and her weird laser bird boyfriend at the end? What the fuck was that?
They haven't said anything about that yet, she's just... She's back because she's popular, and they wouldn't dare make Fooly Cooly without her.
Yeah. No, I just meant like in the context of the original. Like, what the fuck was that supposed to be?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that like a metaphor for being cucked? Or
I think it is. I think it's like when you're young and you have a crush on a girl, but then it turns out she's got a boyfriend already, and he's like. Out of your reach, like he's way older than you and not in your school or some shit.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but between these two shows, admittedly neither of which I have really watched, like if I wanted to just watch a fucking anime where someone gets cucked, I'd probably much rather watch Darling in the Franxx.
Well, I mean, you're practically watching Fooly Cooly already, considering how many shows that show rips off.
If you watch Darling in the Franxx, you won't be able to get incredible, insightful dialogue like this, which is an actual line from the show.
Oh boy.
There is nothing I want to be. There is nothing I want to do. I don't even have an image of what I want to be. I am nothing. All that exists is zero.
Yeah, okay, but what does Code Geass have to do with this?
No, man, if it was Code Geass... That shit would have had, like, way more fucking flowery language and would have been delivered, like, on a fucking podium with poses. That's why Code Geass was great.
I still can't believe we're getting a sequel.
That's the thing about the delivery in this, is the voice director obviously sucks because every character sounds bored all the time. Like, that inflection I just did, that's how it sounded in the actual show.
Maybe the actors just don't give a fuck.
No, see, everybody loves Fooly Cooly, and they're putting their love of Fooly Cooly into the show.
Wasn't Fooly Cooly just like some term for some sex act?
It was really nebulous what it meant.
Well, now it's a thing in universe because of all the students just going Fooly Cooly at the end of the first episode.
Like, it was supposed to be like Fooly Cooly can mean whatever you want it to mean, but it's probably something dirty. Dee-hee. Oh. Japanese... fucking humor. That's not what you do in polite company.
It's so bad. Fooly and Cooly, I'm definitely reviewing it when it's complete.
Fooly Cooly was pretty bad, so it's quite an accomplishment to be worse than the original.
Well, this doesn't even have good animation. Like that's the thing. They took out the good part, and they just tried to make up for it by making it deep and meaningful.
The fucking Fooly Cooly sequel, to an extent, seems to have become its own abridged series, or rather its own abridged series fandom, because in-universe people are fucking parroting shit.
It is.
Like, that fucking classroom scene is like the equivalent of that one fucking faggy Team 4-star panel where they were all like, all these squares make a circle. Remember that?
Yeah, and then even fucking one of the guys Team 4-star are like, you're fucking sheep.
Which is ironic considering their politics. But...
Yeah.
No, I gotta find that scene for you because it's unbelievable when it actually happens. It's just Haruko makes her entrance. It's not even anything spectacular. She's standing in a classroom and everybody stands up and cheers like she just did something important.
And then Rich Evans comes in like masturbating a Gundam in front of his crotch. It's like, I fucking love Fooly Cooly.
It's like a sitcom scene. Except the laugh track is...
come!
It really is. It's ATST is the anime.
Only instead
of FLCL! FLCL!
I'm gonna come!
It even has the same syllables.
Oh, shit.
Mod, I mean, yeah.
This is what DeMarco has given you. The vaunted gatekeeper of anime. Zombie Fooly Cooly. At least Fooly Cooly looked good. Like, the animation was spectacular.
Yeah.
It was a terrible fucking show, but it was a visual spectacle. I cannot poo-poo the animation of the original Fooly Cooly. It was a sight to behold. Like, that fucking, that flying guy flying into the girl's face about to accidentally kiss her. Oh, no! My Japanese PDA version! And it's like, it stops in time and then spins around him and zooms in. That's fucking beautiful looking. But... this thing is just, it's like endemic of everything wrong with anime. It's just cheap and shit.
You can pick out scenes from the original Fooly Cooly, like, you know, like the entire giant hand battle. And those stand out as great pieces of animation. There will be nothing like that in Progressive, or they're making another Fooly Cooly series alternative. And I'm sure that's going to be equally bad.
Why is it called Progressive anyway?
Music. Because progressive and alternative are music genres, and the main characters wield guitars as weapons, so it's another, even the title is just some dumb in-universe thing that they blew out of proportion.
Oh, that's not clever.
I like music references more when it's just blatant references to bands and character names. At least that's fun. This is just like, look, it's symbolism, the music is intrinsically tied into the thing. It's intrinsic. It's part of the metaphor. It's a deep part of the series.
I can't wait for when Haruko then starts talking about how Japan has always been a nation of immigrants.
They really can't go JoJo with it because the series is so married to the Pillows. They're still using exclusively Pillows songs for the soundtrack in Progressive.
Didn't the Pillows say that they weren't going to make new songs? For that.
I've heard exactly one new song so far, and the rest is just stuff they recycled from the original series.
Huh.
Holy shit, I didn't even know that. That's pathetic.
Those lazy fuckers.
Because I don't think the Pillows have done that much new stuff since the original series.
They're not even a very good band! I don't think you fucking weebs out there comprehend this. I don't care how much you like Fooly Cooly. The Pillows are not a very good band. Ride on Shooting Star is kind of catchy. That's the best they'll give you. It's inoffensive and kind of catchy. Okay, how much J-rock do you actually know? Let me introduce you to some shit. Because apparently you don't know... Fucking go listen to Abington Boy School or Glay or something. Pillows is fucking... it's a fucking high school band. I think that's literally what it is. I think it's like a college band that they'll be cheap and it'll be funny to do this. Make up the fucking soundtrack to our show about puberty. Fuck off. Pillows aren't even that fucking good at all. Like, oh, they're doing a tour of anime conventions because Fooly Cooly is back. How about you tour my anus hole?
I liked, like, one song that they did. I don't remember which one it was, though.
Literally, the only one I can think of that's even enjoyable to listen to is Ride on Shooting Star. Like, one of them is just them repeating, "I think I can," over and over again. Like, oh, you must take inspiration from the Beatles. Just repeat this lyric for 2/3 of your song. It will be...
Oh, so they're the hit. Japanese Beatles, then.
Like, fuck, this would be a hit. It's fucking... It's the most pedestrian college band shit. Get it out of my face. Acting like this is a fucking magical band. You know someone is a pathetic fucking weeb that only ingests anime and no other media if they say their favorite band is the Pillows. That is just a fucking dunk that nerd in the toilet answer to give for what's your favorite band.
Why would that be your favorite band?
Because all you do is watch anime, and that's like the most recognizable anime band. That is literally the reason. It's the only anime band with a name you can recognize.
Like, you would literally just not have to listen to music at all in order for that to be your favorite band.
Like, look, Abington
Boys School... Or maybe just, like, generic radio, top 100 radio shit.
Like, Abington Boys School did some anime openers there. Now you have an excuse to fucking upgrade your fucking dumbass.
Like if I had the choice between the Pillows and Despacito, Actually, this is more difficult to decide than I thought.
I need to get back to you.
Oh, okay, this is basically a coin flip. Just whichever. At least Despacito is over quicker.
When are we as a society just going to accept the fact that Fooly Cooly was shit? It was just pretty to look at. Like, there's so many shows that people, like, were really into back in the 2000s that they're just well animated. The substance to them was crap. Like, what's the funniest joke in Fooly Cooly? Was it the fucking, and the episode previews, like, that just kept repeating the word "footy cootie" over and over again? God damn, that made me want to punch somebody. Can I just say, holy shit, it's not funny to just say the nebulous title of your fucking series over and over again like an annoying asshole? Like, "footy cootie," what's "footy cootie"? "Footy cootie" is "footy cootie." It's when you "footy cootie," you "footy cootie." Well, what is "footy cootie"? You haven't explained what "footy cootie" is. "Footy cootie" is "footy cootie." We just told you "footy cootie." Fucking shut up! Damn! It's not funny.
That wasn't funny.
It's just not funny!
What's that actual dialogue?
Yeah, I mean, I exaggerated because I haven't watched it in years because I value myself. I love myself and I don't want to do that to myself. So I haven't watched it yet in years. But that was basically the gist of it. And they did that, like, multiple episode previews. They just bring up "Fooly Cooly," or say "footy cootie," because you got to roll them R's. And it's like, whoa, what is it? It's this! What is this? It's like, oh, awkward Japanese teenage. I have a crush on a girl, makes the command behaviors robot. Why does every girl in the entire series talk exclusively with her nose? I don't know, but it makes me want to fucking die. Like, you got a choice. Do you want Haruko like, "mang, mang, 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 mang"? Or would you like the big-lipped sister-in-law, like brother's girlfriend with the big lips, like, "mama, ha." She's a fucking goose. She's like, "honk, honk, honk." That's her dialogue. "Honk." So you want to watch it in Japanese? It's the same in Japanese. I'm pretty sure. I think the dub actually was trying to imitate how the Japanese voices sounded.
It was.
Yeah.
I think literally the same. I think they brought in people from Japan to help them replicate the original performances.
Why?
Because they have to make sure it's annoying as possible.
I think the dub must have been directed by some kind of weebs because they even left in honorifics.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, they left in all the coons and chants and stuff.
What the fuck? That is like the opposite of Nintendo Treehouse. It's like, why don't you just leave it in Japanese, you fucking weeaboo fucks? What are you gonna leave Nakama untranslated to?
Fooly Cooly is so bad, I don't think people remember how bad it is. I think they, like, liked it as a teenager because of all the fucking panty shots and loud noises and shit. I don't think a lot of you realize how bad it was. The whole show is, here's a boy who's sad because he's not as successful as his older brother, and he's going through puberty, and he wants to touch boobies, but he can't touch boobies. He's very sad about this. He often goes down to the bridge and feels sad down the bridge. Sometimes his brother's girlfriend shows up at the bridge. She'll flirt with him because she misses the brother because his brother moved away. She'll flirt with him and be kind of weird. And he'll kind of go for it, but it's like he's got to realize she ain't going to give it up because she's just pretending he's his brother. She gives him the nickname that his brother had. But he can't be his brother. He's going to be sad at the bridge. Here comes a loud girl. She's on a moped. She hits things with a guitar and she won't stop fucking screaming. She hits things with the guitar and it makes the things come out of the boy's head. She just moved into the boy's house. She just invited herself in, but the boy's dad is retarded. So he just lets it happen. And she's just living there and cock-teasing a child. She walks around in her towel. She just won't stop talking through her fucking nose. Then he goes to school. He's got a crush on his classmate. She's a nerd girl. But he's too nervous to talk to her, and that relationship wasn't meant to be or some shit.
How old is this Haruka chick again?
I don't know. I think he's never even explained. I think she's supposed to be, like, just graduated high school age. Like, not college yet. Like, he's got it, like, fucking 17 or some shit.
Yeah. You know, I can just picture the English dub in my mind. It's like the main character like goes up to the fucking bitch and is like, "Hey, Haruka-chan, Oka-san said I gotta go to school tomorrow. Uku, you want some Nakadashi?"
I don't think you understand, man. Do you know how annoying it is to hear a fucking goose honk, "Takun, Takun, Takun"? That's Fooly Cooly. That's how she sounds.
I thought Fooly Cooly was Fooly Cooly.
But wait, there's more. Because you see, it turns out the girl that's always screaming is an intergalactic fugitive. And here's some guys from space. They're like cops coming to catch her. One guy has big fake eyebrows. That's the one joke. That's the one joke to this man. He has large eyebrows and they fall off sometimes. I hope you think that's the funniest thing you've ever seen, because they're going to do it like 20 times in the 2 episodes in which he appears. And then there's a big, there's a giant iron in the middle of the sea. It's like a hand holding an iron, like a clothes iron. It's in the middle of the sea. They don't know why it's there, but it makes noise sometimes. It turns out giant hand is a monster, and it's like, in the iron is a giant phoenix. This phoenix is actually Screaming Girl's boyfriend. The phoenix is somehow a space pirate. I don't know how a large energy bird is a pirate, but somehow this giant bird is a space pirate. And somehow this 17-year-old human girl has sex with the giant bird. And
yeah,
then,
I was about to say, what the fuck?
And then Screaming Girl and Giant Bird, they fly off into space, and after a little boy, he gets a guitar, magic guitar, hits things with, but it becomes a double guitar that nobody likes. Nobody uses those. Why would that be a super guitar? That's like turning into a keytar to become powerful. And then he gets his own magic guitar as symbolism for becoming his own man, as he gets cucked. And nobody likes him. That's the resolution, is that he has no women. He never got laid. Here lies Takun. He never scored. The end. He's come of age. You know he's come of age because he has a guitar now, but it's different than her guitar. It's his own guitar. It's his man's guitar.
I guess Fooly Cooly is just the Japanese version of Blacked.
That is Fooly Cooly. What I have basically screamed at you is the gist of Fooly Cooly. It is offensively unfunny. I'm not even kidding. It's so unfunny. Like, do you think, you know what Fooly Cooly is? It's like Invader Zim trying to deliver its jokes like Looney Tunes. Like, Invader Zim's like, I am the Muffin of Doom! But then, like, bouncing around like Daffy Duck. While saying, I am the Muffin of Doom.
I fucking hate Invader Zim and its creator.
Yeah, you should. That's fully cool.
Including his other fucking terrible comic.
Yeah. Like, it's so bad, and it's so popular. And that just, it burns my brain. Like, Lord knows I'm not one to just be contrarian. My fucking boners for JoJo and Dragon Ball and Cowboy Bebop and all this shit should kind of give that away. But, like, good God. Fooly Cooly should not be loved by anyone. It's
much like the main character.
Yeah, that's how it ends. He has, like, multiple girls that are, like, options for him that he has things for. He ends up with none of them. I think maybe it's implied he could end up with the nerd girl, but I distinctly remember that option being shot down.
Well, at least he got a guitar out of it, I guess.
Something went down like a new wrong tube that I didn't know existed. Jesus
maybe
Christ.
Maybe he's going to end up with the main character of this new show. You know they're probably gonna bring him back for pandering.
Well, dude, they might. That might be what they do.
The male lead in this looks exactly like an older version of him, so I don't know.
Maybe it is him.
No, because he has a different name.
Well, he might be under.
Yeah, but maybe he like later pulls off the mask, just like what's her face. And then was just Hideaki Anno all the way.
Oh no, it's Takoon! Takoon is back!
Seriously, why the fuck didn't they just translate the honorifics? Like, it's not like those are desperately necessary.
Well, you'll be glad to know the main character of Progressive doesn't do any of that. Because instead, her personality is she has no personality. Like, in the first...
Well, I mean, she's a woman, so...
Like, in the first 5 minutes, there's this scene where, you know, she wakes up, walks downstairs, and her mom holds a kitchen knife in front of her and is like, you know, you're not allowed to leave until you say good morning. And main character girl just does nothing, and her mom says, oh, you're trying to be tsundere.
What the fuck?
Then she just leaves for school.
Anime! Do you like anime? We got all the anime words for you. What's your favorite dere? Mine is Kirino dere.
And she wears those...
Because I'm a fucking degenerate.
She wears those stupid cat ear headphones.
What was Kirino...
That was the guy LARPing as a girl... That is the guy LARPing as a girl teacher that was taking creep shots of his little sister.
Oh, yeah, that fucking guy. I forgot about
Let's talk about how much he wants to fuck his little sister.
No, but it's totally a girl. Totally a joke. Well, we could just use that to sync the episode.
What is with all this fucking dare shit anyway? Like, whatever happened to just...
Because,
I don't know, like having
because
a woman
the Japanese
with an actual
are,
personality?
Because the Japanese are sexually dysfunctional, that's why.
Or maybe one that just isn't an obnoxious cunt.
Because this is an entire nation of people that freak out if you hold hands. Oh, it's not proper. No, do that in public.
Yeah, like any normal person when confronted with this sort of tsundere shit, unless they were like some sort of fucking super beta orbiter, would just be, yeah, okay, you're not worth dealing with. Goodbye.
Yeah, how about just a normal person, you know, with personality traits, and not just like, what is the archetype so that I know the strategy to fuck her?
Yeah, it's like that one fucking joke with the harem protagonist who's gay, where the one girl's like, well, I don't really like you, and he's like, yeah, it's okay, I don't really like you.
Oh god, what was that? Because that was fucking brilliant. What was that called again? It was like a manga with the hair.
It was like one of these really long light novel equivalent title where it's like, I'm a harem protagonist, but my life is hell because I'm gay or some shit like that.
Yeah. That was, I fucking love that. I haven't thought about that in so long. It was fucking great.
That was like an amusing one-shot joke, at least.
Well, I think that's all it was. It was like a one-shot comic.
Okay. Because I don't think you can drag that premise out for that much.
No, I don't think it was like a one-shot, but I think it's like a limited thing, like a little, I think it was like published in some magazine. It was like each chapter was like 2 pages or something, shit like that. It's like a gag thing.
Yeah.
I forget how long it went on. That was fucking great. That was a brilliant concept. I'm surprised it took so long to do. But yeah, that's an actual manga.
Like the way he fucking reacts to the tsundere, that's like what any normal person would react to if they weren't a fucking anime character. It's like, who likes that shit? Unless you have no self-esteem. Then maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're like literally Shinji in real life.
Well, that feels like the target audience for a lot of Gainax's work. Like if it's not Shinji Nadia, in real life. If it's not Nadia, The Secret of Blue Water, it's not worth watching. But I think we're about ready to wrap this son of a bitch up. Unless anybody's got anything else they want to add.
Nah.
Just that okay. I'm in too deep. I have to watch the rest now. I already said I'll review it, and there's only 4 more episodes, so fuck it. I'm gonna do
Maybe they'll finally explain what Fooly Cooly is.
Probably not. No. I'll ruin the joke. One thing I do want to add. I just remember one thing I do want to point out before we leave. The dub of Dragon Ball Super has gotten to the end of the Future Trunks saga. And I have to say, I think it is now, I can safely say, bar none, James Marsters' performance as Zamasu is the single best acting performance the Dragon Ball franchise has ever seen, and one of the best acting performances in anime history. Holy fucking goddamn! Like, this is why voice actors are all like, don't hire screen actors to do voice parts. They can't do, like, a voice actor can, because they're clearly threatened. Because a fucking screen actor came in, because he's a fucking Dragon Ball fanboy, got this role, and just murdered it! Good God! Just look up clips, people. Look up clips of English dub Zamasu. It's incredible. The fucking Fuse Zamasu fight, he just, oh my, mwah! Just destroyed it! He won, people. He was the winner. There wasn't even a contest, but there became a contest by virtue of his performance, and he won it. But sadly, because the saga's ended now, that means we don't get any more of him unless he appears in another Dragon Ball video game. So, R.I.P. If you haven't watched the Super dub, it actually is really good. It's a really fucking good dub. Like, goddamn. The people involved in it may be jackasses, but they did a damn good job. So definitely check that. So I just want to give props. Now that was over, I had to give props to the man and his masterful performance. So from all of us here at the other side, I'm Cody Barr.
I'm Max Whitter.
I'm Andrew Erickson.
Saying, we back, bitch. Each other like we brothers from another mother, kinda like Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, strictly for the caddy lovers, and never the nut hugging pump motherfuckers. Yeah, so quit spreading them rumors. We in Club Nouveau, know that. Yeah, yeah.